He said we were like brothers, built a studio with me, whispered truths about trust and loyalty, while secretly studying my voice patterns, tracking my breakdowns like data points. What do you do when your best friend turns out to be your greatest manipulator? This isn't just a betrayal story, it's a blueprint of control. From offshore accounts to behavioral psychology, from shadowed secrets to emotional warfare, I expose the con artist who engineered my loyalty and the fire I used to burn his echo chamber to the ground. Welcome to the truth he tried to erase. This is The Psychology of Betrayal in Friendships. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. The smile that killed me first. You never forget the moment the illusion breaks. For me, it was a Wednesday. Rain tapping soft against the apartment windows. The kind of day where memories drift in like fog. I remember watching him, Jordan, laughing at one of my jokes while sipping from the coffee mug I bought him for his birthday last year. Best friends are the real soulmates, it said. I used to believe that. I used to believe a lot of things. We met back in college. Not over drinks or sports or parties like most guys, but over a shared obsession with cognitive psychology and old PS1 games. That was our thing, late-night marathons of Metal Gear Solid and deep dives into human behavior. Why do people lie? Why do people manipulate? He asked questions that made you feel like you were peeling back the skin of the world. He was smart, charming, radiated this quiet confidence. And I fell for it hard. Not romantically, but emotionally. Trust that ran marrow deep. The kind of trust that makes you say, yeah, let's go into business together. And we did. We created EchoWorks Studio, a platform that explored human emotions, behavioral psychology, and the art of narrative engineering. He was the strategist. I was the voice. Together, we were unstoppable. Or so I thought. It started with a pitch. What if we built an episode about friendship betrayal, but we did it as a real-time emotional experiment? His eyes lit up when he said it, like he was inviting me to discover some celestial insight. I didn't think twice. I should have. The script, the pacing, the audio manipulation techniques, he handled it all. We even had a segment in the episode that discussed body language, true body intelligence, social dynamics. I narrated it, unaware that I was describing myself. Notice when a friend leans in, mirroring your gestures. That's trust or performance. And in betrayal, performance is everything. The line still haunts me. A few weeks later, our audience tripled. Market psychology was our goldmine. We started pitching exam techniques, group behavior theories, even ethical marketing tips for leadership coaches. Behind the scenes, Jordan was handling the finances, the brand deals, the offshore accounts. At first, I thought he was just more business savvy. But cracks formed. The travel receipts didn't match. Some partner emails seemed off. And then the server room. That goddamn server room. I'd gone in to check a rendering bug and found folders buried behind proxy firewalls, folders named with titles like Mind Racing Assets, Mitigation Techniques, and the one that broke me, Control Test, Phase 3. Inside, audio logs of our private calls, screenshots of my text messages, fucking voice analyses comparing my emotional patterns across months. He'd used my own narration against me, studied my tone shifts, pauses, sighs, every vulnerability I ever expressed, and labeled them trust window, persuasion peak, compliance marker. I felt sick. I remember dropping to the floor, that freezing linoleum pressing against my knees like punishment. I was the subject of his experiment. Our friendship wasn't real. It was a performance, engineered with precision, sculpted through behavioral psychology, persuasion methods, cognitive techniques, all to see how far he could push loyalty before it broke. And I broke. That night, I didn't sleep. I listened to every recording. My voice saying things like, you're the only one I trust with this, and hearing him respond, calm as always, trust is a skill, man. Some people just haven't developed it yet. I realized then, he didn't just betray me. He built me. Crafted my confidence, guided my growth, manipulated every story I told myself about what friendship really was. He saw me as a project, a game exploration, not a person, not a brother. And I saw the shadows of justice for what they were, shadows. Jordan had engineered everything, the success, the emotional highs, the fall. I was his case study. And the moment I knew that, the smile I once trusted, it killed me first, because I smiled back, beneath the soundproof walls. People think betrayal is loud, screams, slamming doors, maybe a fight that ends in shattered glass. But that's not how it happens. Not with someone like Jordan. His betrayal came silent, dressed in logic and smooth transitions. It came beneath the soundproof walls of our studio, behind the carefully layered acoustic foam, where we recorded our so-called insightful breakdowns of human emotions and friendship dynamics. It's ironic, isn't it? We built a brand on engineering stories, on exposing manipulation in society, and I was the one being played the entire time. After discovering the server room folders, I started noticing things. Obvious things, but only obvious in retrospect, like how Jordan never gave straight answers when money came up, how he used terms like ethical flexibility and dark forces of market behavior to justify morally gray decisions. We were building a series called The Mind of the Manipulator, and I realize now it was never about them. It was always about him. I spent weeks pretending everything was fine. I kept smiling, laughing on cue, keeping the show running because I needed time to dig deeper. I had to find out just how far this betrayal went. I started with our financials. I wasn't supposed to have access. That's how we divided the work. But curiosity is a powerful motivator. One night, I bypassed the system. And there it was, offshore accounts. Multiple. Hidden behind dummy LLCs, linked to shell companies in places I'd never even heard of. All tied to our media firm. His voice echoed in my head. Don't worry about the paperwork, bro. That's just mitigation techniques to keep us protected. Protected? No. It was isolation. Control. Jordan knew what he was doing, leveraging market dynamics and human behavior to craft an empire that looked ethical. It was theater. Strategic deception dressed as leadership. He weaponized cognitive skills and NLP techniques to convince sponsors, collaborators, even me, that we were building something pure. But under the surface, it was built on shadowed truths and manipulation. That's when I realized this wasn't just about betrayal. It was about domination. He wasn't trying to hurt me. He was trying to own me. My voice. My loyalty. My emotions. I remember a conversation we had in the sound booth. I asked him why he never got personal on air. He said, "People who reveal too much lose leverage. Empathy is a tool, not a personality trait." I laughed at the time. But now, that sentence haunts me. Empathy was his weapon, and I was the test subject. Every episode we recorded was a layer deeper into his con. And the fucked up part? The audience loved it. They called us revolutionary. Said we were redefining audio storytelling. They didn't know that the stories weren't just concepts. They were reflections of my emotional breakdown, mapped and narrated in real time. I started having dreams. Nightmares, really. Jordan in a dark room, wearing noise-canceling headphones, listening to me cry on tape while adjusting EQ levels. I'd wake up drenched in sweat, unsure if I was mad, or just ashamed that I still missed our friendship. That's the worst part of betrayal. Not the damage, it's the doubt. The gnawing question. Did any of it mean anything to him? Was any of it real? And the truth? I'll never know. Because manipulators don't confess. They just keep adapting. One night, I sat in the studio long after Jordan left. I replayed our very first episode. Back when it was just two guys trying to decode the world. And I heard something. Something I'd never noticed. Right before the outro, Jordan whispering into his mic, barely audible. "This is just the beginning." My blood ran cold. Because it was never about the content. It was about the experiment. And I was still inside it. Every decision, every conversation, every moment that seemed spontaneous, it was all designed. Society manipulation in miniature. A friendship forged in shadowed secrets and sustained by skillful deceit. I looked around the studio, the diffused lighting, the expensive gear, the perfectly calibrated soundproof walls, and I realized this wasn't a workplace. It was a lab, and the door had been locked from the outside the whole time. The echo chamber he built. I used to think echo chambers were for politicians, social media bubbles, confirmation bias. But I learned the hard way, they can be personal too. Tailored, crafted around your weaknesses so you never see the manipulation tightening its grip. Jordan didn't just betray me, he isolated me. He built an echo chamber so immersive, so psychologically airtight, that even my instincts started lying to me. Every doubt I had about him was met with mirrored trust. Every hesitation smoothed over with charisma. He didn't just predict my reactions. He designed them. The deeper I looked, the more it became clear. The friends we shared weren't neutral. They were extensions of his control. He'd studied group behavior and work dynamics for years. Not academically, but as a predator learning how to herd. He made sure every conversation I had bounced back to him. Even when I tried confiding in a mutual friend, Rachel, about something feeling off, she gently redirected me. Maybe you're just overthinking it. Jordan's always had your back. That's when it hit me. She wasn't lying. She truly believed it. He'd manipulated her, too. He had this ability to embed himself in your decisions so subtly that you thought you arrived at them alone. That's cognitive manipulation. Not just persuasion, but inception. The ethical line? Long gone. He once told me the best manipulation is when they never realize it happened. And I was living proof. He weaponized psychology tips like they were gospel. Used cognitive techniques like camouflage. He wrapped his betrayal in positive influence. His calls for ethical leadership and deep emotional storytelling were just bait to draw in people like me. People who wanted to believe. And that's the cruelty of it all. He didn't have to force me into his trap. I walked willingly. The loneliness that came next, it was surgical. Everyone I thought I could trust was tethered to him. My support system? Curated. My career? Co-owned. My story? Recorded. Even my voice, my literal voice, was licensed under his corporate shell. I remember sitting in my living room, blinds drawn, staring at the waveform of my own voice on his server. A voice I could no longer claim. And that's when the depression hit. Not sadness. Not grief. Something deeper. Something existential. Like I wasn't just betrayed, I was erased. I stopped sleeping. Stopped eating. My thoughts spiraled. Was I the fool? Was I complicit? I started questioning everything. Maybe he was the visionary. Maybe I was just the tool that couldn't keep up. That's what manipulation does. It doesn't just steal your trust. It reprograms your identity. I began searching for answers the only way I knew how. I turned to the data. I poured through hours of old recordings, contracts, email threads. And buried in the metadata of a shared cloud folder, I found something he never meant me to see. A log labeled Voice Sync Master, Emotion Mapping Test. I clicked it. It was a spreadsheet. Columns and rows tracking my emotions, my pitch patterns, my inflections, even my breathing cycles. Labeled against topics like vulnerability, anger, grief, and compliance. This wasn't documentation. This was surveillance. Jordan had mapped my psychology like a goddamn software developer. He knew when to pause, when to mirror, when to inject empathy. It was all a simulation, down to the seconds. And that's when the fear turned to rage. I realized he hadn't just stolen my voice. He'd been rehearsing it, duplicating it, trying to become it. And that's when I remembered something else. He'd once joked that he could pass as me in an audio deepfake. We laughed. I laughed. But now, I wasn't so sure. That night, I backed up everything I could. Files. Logs. Contracts. I started building a private folder. My own archive. Not for revenge. Not yet. But for evidence. For proof that I wasn't crazy. That I hadn't imagined this all. Because in an echo chamber that deep, reality gets slippery. I needed anchors. I needed facts. And I needed to remind myself who I was before Jordan rewrote the script. I looked at myself in the mirror for the first time in weeks. Not just at my face, but at the man behind it. I saw someone fractured, yes. But also someone waking up. Someone stepping out of the echo. And in that moment, I made a decision. I would not stay silent. I would not be erased. If Jordan wanted to master manipulation, then it was time I learned how to break the spell. This wasn't just about friendship anymore. It was about redemption, recovery, and eventually reversal. Rewriting the script. The first thing they don't tell you about taking your power back is how much it hurts. Not the betrayal. That part's done. It's the rebuilding, the scraping together of what's left of you after someone's torn you down piece by piece and rewired your trust into a control system. But I wasn't going to stay broken. No, Jordan had written the first three acts. But the final chapter? That belonged to me. And I was going to rewrite the script, not out of rage, but with calculated skill. The kind of skill I once thought belonged to him alone. I started with what I knew best, audio. It had always been my domain, the place where my mind felt free, even when I didn't have words for the pain. Now it would be my weapon. I took the old files he labeled as control tests and remixed them, not just to expose him, but to mirror him, frame by frame, pattern by pattern. I spliced our old episodes with real recordings, the manipulation buried between the lines, the voice cracks, the layered condescension, the predictive phrasing that aligned too perfectly with my emotional triggers. It was there, hidden beneath his celestial insights, his soft-spoken cognitive techniques, and his so-called ethical marketing strategies. It was all a script. And now, I had the receipts. While he was out pitching us as visionaries in human storytelling, I built a backup studio in my garage, bare bones, but mine. I installed a new recording rig, stripped it of all the plugins he once programmed, and recorded my first unsanctioned segment. Not a podcast. A confession. A breakdown of what it feels like to be psychologically dissected by someone you once loved. I called it Shadowed Secrets, the art of unseen betrayal. I wasn't sure what I'd do with it yet. But speaking the truth, my truth, felt like the first inhale after drowning. I started digging into behavioral psychology journals, manipulation case studies, dark psychology forums. I tracked language cues. I studied NLP techniques and social manipulation theory. I built timelines of his deception. I dissected everything he'd ever said about true body intelligence, cognitive skills, mitigation tactics, and even that bullshit he spewed about ethical standards being fluid. I used to think I was the emotional one, the storyteller, the heart of the brand. But now I realized my emotions were my weapon. They weren't weaknesses. They were data. And he'd only taught me how to see them that way. Then came the hard part, engagement. I couldn't trust our circle. He'd infiltrated it too well. So I created a new identity. A burner email. A new handle, Echo Breaker. Through it, I began leaking small clips online. Subtle ones. Snippets of our original work, contrasted against the truth behind them. I dropped terms like market psychology, offshore accounts, con artistry, and waited. At first, silence. But then buzz. A few podcasters reached out, asking questions. Some investigative journalism forums started quoting my anonymous breakdowns. The conversation shifted. And Jordan? He didn't know it was me. Not yet. But I knew time was short. Once he caught the scent, he'd retaliate. So I moved quickly. I hired a forensic audio engineer, paid in crypto off the grid, to verify the authenticity of every file I planned to release. I partnered with an ethics watchdog, under NDA, and prepared a full case file. Not for court, for exposure. Because if I learned anything from Jordan, it's this. In today's world, reputational collapse is faster than legal justice. The final piece? I reached out to Rachel. I needed to know, was she a pawn or a partner? When I confronted her, I kept it simple. You've heard the stories. The whispers. What do you believe? She didn't speak. But her eyes told me everything. She'd known. Maybe not the full picture, but enough. Enough to know something was wrong. And maybe enough to help fix it. I left her with a USB drive and walked away. No pressure. Just the truth. Now the clock was ticking. Jordan had built his empire on polished perception and shadows of justice. But I was about to light a match. And burn his echo chamber to the fucking ground. The fire in the playback. It started with a click. Just one. A podcast episode quietly uploaded to a private feed. No branding. No music. Just a voice. My voice. And the kind of truth you don't say out loud until you're ready to destroy everything. The title? Playback of a Con. The Manipulator's Voice Unmasked. I kept it clean, clinical, surgical. No accusations. Just sound. Layered, factual, haunting. It opened with Jordan's soft-spoken monologue from our flagship episode on friendship psychology. His words about trust as a tool and predictive emotions. Then I layered in the private recordings he never knew I recovered, his whispered assessments of me, his mapping of my reactions, the moment he described me as a compliance-ready personality type with ideal market appeal. The silence that followed? That was me, letting the fire burn. Within 2 hours, it was downloaded 3,000 times. In 6 hours, it was trending on a subreddit we used to pitch our show to. By the next morning, one of the larger investigative podcasts shared it, credited to Echo Breaker. That was when the fire spread. Every clip was time-stamped. Every comparison between his ethical leadership lectures and the manipulation buried beneath them was surgically precise. There were no allegations, just evidence. The playback spoke louder than rage ever could. Jordan didn't respond publicly at first. That wasn't his style. No, he started from the inside. I noticed strange login attempts on my cloud accounts. Then came the emails, and signed, coded threats, like, it's not too late to correct the narrative. But I didn't flinch. I'd already rerouted my system through a server in Iceland, backed up everything to a physical drive locked in a safety deposit box. He taught me to be paranoid, so I listened. I leaned into the chaos. Fed it. I dropped a second recording. This one was harder. It featured a confrontation between us that I'd recorded without telling him. One where I asked about the discrepancies in our finances. His voice was calm, surgical. You don't understand how market dynamics work. If you did, you'd see this is just smart positioning. I isolated that line and slowed it down. Let the words hang in the air like a confession dipped in silk. Then I added my response, a single sentence. Did you ever care about me at all? Silence. His silence. That clip went viral. The backlash was instant. Sponsors pulled out. Journalists started asking questions. A former assistant emailed me from a burner account. Said they'd suspected something for years, but were too scared to speak up. I told them they weren't alone. Because that's the thing about con artists. They never stop at one mark. They build networks of control, mastering leadership while quietly rewriting the rules for themselves. But the public? They were waking up. They started asking the same questions I once screamed into a soundproof booth. How deep does this go? Who else was complicit? What happens when the voice of justice is the one lying to you? And still, Jordan didn't speak. He disappeared. Went dark. No statements. No denials. Just silence. But that silence wasn't retreat. It was strategy. I knew he was planning something. A rebrand. A redirection. Maybe even a new identity. That's how manipulators work. When one identity collapses, they build another from the ruins. But this time, I wasn't going to let him rise. I'd learned his tactics. His tools and tactics, as he used to call them. His art techniques of control. The psychology tips he dropped like breadcrumbs to make people feel seen while leading them straight into his net. I took all of it, his methodology, his twisted ideology, and dismantled it piece by piece on air. I exposed the social manipulation, the workplace exploitation, the buried offshore accounts. And I did it in the same tone he once used, calm, articulate, unflinching. Because nothing unsettles a manipulator more than being mirrored. Nothing. Then came the twist I didn't see coming. Rachel reached back out, this time with a voice memo. She'd been recording him, too, for weeks. Her trust had broken quietly, long before mine. She'd been playing her own game. And the final file she sent me? It changed everything. In it, Jordan admitted to setting up multiple simulations of friendships, not just with me, but with other collaborators. He called it adaptive behavioral modeling. Said it was the future of emotional branding. Said he could predict how people would react to betrayal if he engineered their identities from the beginning. That wasn't a partnership. That was psychological warfare. And I had it all on tape. The fire was no longer mine. It belonged to the public now. The truth was out. And the manipulator? He was finally the one cornered by his own script. The playback didn't just expose him. It destroyed him, silencing the puppeteer. You don't hear the moment a kingdom falls. Not in real life. There's no explosion, no screams, no crumbling towers. It's quieter, slower. It happens in the unspoken shame of silence, in the subtle shifting of loyalty, in the moment someone who once feared you no longer returns your call. That's how Jordan's empire died, not in fire, but in the absence of applause. And I watched every second of it from the sidelines, no longer broken, no longer controlled. Just awake. The memo Rachel sent me. His voice dissecting human emotion like it was code, spread like wildfire. News outlets called it the fall of an audio messiah. Others called him a digital cult leader in a podcasting revolution. I didn't care for the headlines. What mattered was that the people who felt what I felt, the ones who'd been gaslit, manipulated, emotionally engineered, finally had words. I had given them mine. And in return, they gave me something I hadn't felt in years, clarity. Jordan tried to fight back, of course. He released a video, carefully lit, expression neutral, full of vague denials and soft-spoken spiritual buzzwords. He blamed market confusion, misrepresented experiments, and unfortunate miscommunication. But you can't spin your way out of evidence. Not when the audio recordings bleed with intent. His words were laced with calculated control. His silence on the worst of it said more than any PR statement could. People saw through it. He was done. I received an email from one of our early listeners, a kid from Montreal who said he once looked up to Jordan like a father figure. He wrote, "Thank you for showing us the shadows behind the light. I didn't know how much of my thinking he had shaped until now. That message wrecked me in the best way. Because that's the real danger of manipulation. It doesn't just change what you feel. It rewrites how you think. And Jordan, he wasn't just a friend gone bad. He was a puppeteer. A man who believed leadership meant ownership. That trust was currency. That people were systems waiting to be coded. But what he didn't anticipate, what he could never program, was the resistance. Not rage. Not revenge. But resilience. The human ability to reclaim narrative. To find power in vulnerability. To say, you hurt me. You built me like a product. But I still found my way back. I turned down every interview. Every TV special. I didn't want fame. I wanted freedom. I spent my days walking alone, revisiting old memories with a different lens. Some still stung. Others felt like echoes, hollow and fading. I deleted old files. I burned old scripts. But one thing I kept was the last recording I made, unedited, unpolished. Just me, sitting in the same studio he once designed, now stripped bare. In it, I said, "If you're hearing this, you've survived something too. Maybe not him, but someone like him. And if you're questioning your worth, your reality, your voice, this is your sign. You're not broken. You were bent. And now you bend back. Not the same, but stronger. Sharper. Yours." That recording never aired. I didn't need it to. It was for me. Jordan's disappearance was never confirmed. Some say he moved to a different continent. Others believe he's starting over under a new alias, whispering new promises into new ears. And maybe he is. Because people like him don't stop. They just recode. But now I know the signs. I see the scripts. I hear the pauses. And I know the difference between trust and programming. Friendship is sacred. It's raw. Imperfect. It doesn't live in spreadsheets or compliance graphs. It lives in late-night calls. In tears. In laughter that no one records. It's messy and real. Jordan stole that from me for a time. But now, I own it again. This story, my story, isn't a warning. It's a blueprint. For anyone lost in the shadows of justice. For anyone manipulated by someone who called themselves a mentor, a friend, a soulmate. You're not alone. And your silence is not consent. Break the playback. Burn the script. Rewrite your truth.